This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My beloved brothers and sisters, this beautiful summer light upon light conference this year, 2023, the theme is the path to repentance. Okay? So we've heard so many lectures yesterday, today, and mashallah, some of you were here for both of these days and some only one day. May Allah Almighty grant us forgiveness. Say Ameen. May Allah Almighty grant us forgiveness and goodness. We heard so many people say things. We've heard verses of the Quran. We've heard ahadith and sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Words of encouragement and motivation for us to turn to Allah, to repent. And I'm hoping that we have turned to Allah. If not, or if we haven't done that yet, we should do so now. Oh Allah, forgive me. Forgive my shortcomings. Forgive what I've done knowingly, that which I didn't even know. Forgive the major, the minor, that which I did privately, that which I did openly. Oh Allah, forgive me. Grant me the opportunity to turn to you and grant me the strength to quit my bad ways and habits. So now that we sought the forgiveness of Allah and we are forgiven by Allah Almighty, like I said yesterday, when we ask Allah's forgiveness, we should not doubt that we are forgiven. Allah's forgiven us. Shaitan comes to us and makes us think perhaps that we may not be forgiven. Don't fall in that trap. But today I want to take it from there. Now that I'm forgiven, now that I feel so energized, what is it that I need to do? We have a few issues we need to talk about, because sitting here it might feel so good, I might be softened, I might really feel I need to change, or I believe I have changed. The minute you walk out and go back into your circles and everything, you know, flows as it was, you tend to forget. And over time what happens, you might slide back into where you were. In order to avoid that, together with the determination that you have right now, you need to make a few changes in your life, starting with the circle that you cruise in or the people that you move with. If that company was what caused you to distance from Allah, then surely it needs changing, unless you can impact on it to change, which is rare. It's very rare for us to be able to change company that is toxic, unless you're a mentor or you really are very good at it, or you're the leader of the pack. You know, they say when the main gangster becomes a person who's practicing, the little gangsters will all come with him, because they're all, the gangsters will be in the first saf now, right? And mashallah, Allahu Akbar, and there we are, all the gangsters are standing there and everyone's looking. Those guys were in the places and now they're in the main place, the masjid, right? But if you're not the leader and you don't have that level, you need to realize without changing circles, you're not going to have a long-term effect and impact on you. The change that you want to bring about within you is not going to really be meaningful. So start looking into who you are going to interact with more and who you are going to either cut out completely immediately or over time minimize with them and protect yourself from being contaminated once again. Secondly, make sure that your use of social media is beneficial, because many times people are flicking social media, be it TikTok, as what is, you know, the common one today, or Instagram, YouTube, whatever it may be. As we're flicking, we see things. Sometimes we see good things, and there are also a lot of bad things. Unfortunately, the bad things, when we keep seeing them and we pause at them, the algorithm begins to think that that's what you enjoy. So it begins to show you more of that and less of the one that's beneficial. So you need to make sure you interact with what is beneficial online and spend time with it, so that the algorithm understands that you're a person who's more interested in that which is of this kind rather than that. And this is a very important piece of advice, because that plays a big role in shaping what you do, how you think, and what you end up doing physically outside, because you've been watching it. You see it time and again, the same thing. You know what beats me? Wallahi, sometimes I feel so sad when I know of people who've memorized the words of others who have come about with all sorts of weird lyrics and songs, and they know the words and the tunes and every single thing, but they don't know Suratul Kahf. They don't know Surat Yasin. You don't know Kalamu Rabbil Alameen, but you know 50 different songs of the people of the earth, the meanings of which are many a times that which is unacceptable. You and I know, what are they singing about? Today's words and lyrics, as far as I was told, are really of a level that even those who are not Muslim but belong to other faiths and are serious about their faith would tell you that these words are really, really disturbing. It's something that we shouldn't be listening to. That's what they will tell you. So imagine if you're a Muslim, and the Muslim's supposed to be even stricter and more disciplined in that regard. So you need to watch your use of social media, and you need to improve it and make sure not only do you put up content that is beneficial for you and others, but you interact with content that is beneficial for you as well. A good comment will help. Sometimes you have the like will help. I know that some of these platforms, when you spend a little bit of time, more than a few seconds on something, it actually clicks it for you. The algorithm, it will show you more of this because you spent a moment. And the sooner you flick it, the more it knows that you're not really interested in that. So wallahi, what is the equivalent of lowering your gaze? What is the equivalent of lowering your gaze when it comes to your phone? Do you know what it is? Flick it immediately. That's the equivalent. If I am, for example, walking and I see something, and I know that Islam teaches me that when you see something like this, just lower your gaze and keep it moving. What do I do? Well, different people react differently, but primarily you look down and you just keep it moving, right? Some people say, Astaghfirullah, and they keep it moving. Some people say, La ilaha illallah, and they keep it moving. Some people say, Subhanallah, and they keep it moving, right? And some people say, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, and they keep it moving. And some of the guys, like I always say, the intelligent ones, they say, InshaAllah, and they keep it moving, right? Either way, if we get a little bit more serious, you're supposed to look down and keep it going. The same applies, wallahi, online when you see something that you know you're not supposed to be interacting with. Just keep it going. You can say any dhikr you want from those adhkar we said right now, and you can move it. Just keep it going. The minute you spend a little bit more with it, subhanallah, what happens? Wallahi, it will keep coming back. And then what happens? Naturally, in real life, when you're out on the street and you're out at work or you're out at school or you're going somewhere, you are going to see certain things. And when you see certain things, you need to understand what the Quran says about a believer and how he treads, how he walks on earth. You know, a believer walks with a beautiful aura and in a very polite way, really amazing. Someone who is pleasant but at the same time serious. It's an amazing balance. So you walk on earth with humility and yet you are a focused, strong person. Allah Almighty is telling you that. Now, if you were to go out your day-to-day life and you're used to using your phone in the wrong way, what's going to happen? You're going to be living the same life in reality that you saw there. You see someone and you start, you know, the same comments, the same things. And wallahi, my brothers, my sisters, even the way we speak sometimes is determined by what we watch, a lot of it. And I have to talk about it simply because today, the strongest company and companion you have is, in the case of most of us, is your phone. We interact with the phone more than we interact with any other human being, including our own spouses sometimes. So many complaints of people. There was a sister who said, you know, my husband comes from work And he's on his phone. He speaks to me perhaps for a few minutes in the day. He's on his phone and he just doesn't get off the phone. He brings it to the table, he takes it to the toilet, and he does everything, just his phone. And I told her, I said, sister, have you tried talking to him, telling him, look, it's too much. You know, you're on your phone all along. And she says, he can't hear me. He doesn't hear me. Unless I make some content and, you know, come onto his phone, he might see me on the phone, but he's not going to see me in real life. So she decides, some time later, she contacted me and said, you know what? We had a big problem. I said, why? She said, because I decided to do the same thing. And so I was on my phone all the time and he's on his phone. When he came home, I didn't even respond. And then when he started saying, why are you on your phone all the time? I told him, all along you've been on your phone and you expected me to ignore it. I'm on my phone just now because I want to prove something to you. And here you are exploding. Don't you understand? But this is a reality. Anyway, their problem was solved after some time where they reached an agreement. But in many cases, we're not even married. And sometimes we don't have responsibility to the degree where someone's going to tell it to us. Remember to control yourself. If you think of Islam, it's all about discipline. That's what it is. If Allah wanted, He would not have created haram. They would have only been halal. But Allah created haram for you to get closer to Him by disciplining yourself and holding back from doing things that are displeasing to Him. That's why He created haram. He created haram so that you can engage in an act of worship known as abstention for the sake of Allah. He created haram so that wherever you faltered, you can engage in an act of worship known as repentance for the sake of Allah. Allah Almighty created all of this as a test for us, mankind. That's why He says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created mankind or jinnkind except that they worship me. That's one verse. Another one. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah says, does man think it is sufficient for him to just say, I'm a believer, and then he won't be tested? Allah says, we have tested those before you as well. We have tested those before them, them meaning all of us. In order to distinguish between those who are truthful in their claim and those who are false. You claim to worship Allah. You claim to be a believer. You say, I'm a believer. Allah says, well, we're going to test you now. And that's one of the reasons why a believer has more tests than one who doesn't believe. You are in, like I say, you're in the school. You have enrolled for the examination, so you will be tested. The others are not in the school. They have not enrolled in the examination. They will enjoy outside. But when the qualification comes, who gets it? You get it. Because you were in it, you struggled, you were tested, and you passed your test, and you were tested again, a more difficult test. And as you grew older, the tests became more and more difficult, but you passed them all the time, and you had the manual, and you studied it. What is it? The Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And you corrected yourself, you went back, and you passed those exams. But the others who don't even believe, they're not even in the school, they haven't even enrolled. So Allah says, don't allow yourself to be deceived by those who are distant from us and yet they're enjoying the life on earth. Allah says, we will give them on earth. If they did good, we will give them goodness on earth. For you, we've kept it for the hereafter. And what do I get by being a Muslim? What do I get by being disciplined? I told you, it's all about discipline. You've got to get up at a time. Fajr is from this time to this time. Dhuhr is from this time to this time. Your five daily prayers have a starting time and ending time. You cannot just decide that, you know what, it's 3 p.m, right guys? Let's read Salatul Fajr. They look at you and say, are you okay? No, man. In America, it's Fajr right now. We can do it. It's okay. We just, you know, it's fine. That's not true. In America, it is the time of Fajr, but where are you? You cannot come up with your own rules and regulations. Allah wants you to be disciplined. The same applies to your fasting. Your fasting will start with your sunrise. Your fasting will end with your sunset. You cannot just come and say, I'm fasting. But then you're drinking water. What are you doing? Well, you know, I'm fasting a special type of a fast. It's a fast that's faster than yours because there's water involved. Come on, come on, come on. You cannot make up your own rules. You do it properly. Allah wants you to discipline yourself. If I can control myself from consuming that which is halal for 1 month through the year, I will definitely be able to control myself from that which is haram. What is it all about? Discipline. La'allakum tattaqoon. Allah says, in order that you achieve the God consciousness, the connection with Allah, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa is to create a barrier between you and the wrath and the punishment and the fire. By doing good deeds and abstaining from bad, what did you do? Discipline. So everything to do with religion, Islam, discipline. You cannot dress how you wish. If you're a Muslim, you dress how Allah wishes. Otherwise, you have a lot of work to do. And subhanAllah, I always tell people, if you're a believer and you have a weakness, do not justify it. Admit it. Look, I'm wrong. Inshallah, I work on myself and I will try to get to the best. Now, I remember every time there were people, a certain group of people, and I used to talk to them that, you know, when are you coming? When are you coming, inshallah? Strengthen yourself. Come on, we need to start. Make dua for me. That was the answer. What was it? Make dua for me. My brother, when are you quitting the bottle? Make dua for me. My brother, when are you quitting this gambling? Make dua for me. When are you quitting this bad habit? Make dua for me. So much so that the statement, make dua for me, became cheap, where it's being used as a scapegoat to say, you know what, it's okay, you worry about yourself, let me worry about me. That statement about you worry about yourself, let me worry about me, is not from Islam. In Islam, we are taught to be concerned about ourselves primarily, but we have to reach out to those who are astray to try to guide them, starting with the dua, starting with the supplication, and then depending on how much you're connected to them, you need to give them the message. Today I'm talking to you. What am I talking to you about? Turning to Allah. On what level am I speaking to you? Well, alhamdulillah, we know each other to a degree. And inshallah, we are reminding each other in a beautiful way. If you are my child, I can remind you in a more direct way. If you are in my circle, I can be a little bit harder on you. If you and I are bosom buddies and good friends, I can be even harder and tell you, listen, don't you dare do this. Okay? But I need to know the wisdom and the methodology, how to speak and who to speak to at what time. But it doesn't mean I must ignore it completely. When you see people sin, a mu'min should, the minimum is, they should feel in their hearts, you know what, this is wrong. وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. That's the lowest level that you could ever get to. In my heart, I know, hey, you know what, this is wrong. Why? Because you don't want to normalize that sin. If you cannot feel in your heart that a sin is a sin, then you've normalized it. And if you've normalized it, what's going to happen to the coming generations? They will all encourage each other to engage in it. Astaghfirullah. So you can't do that. You have to remind, you feel in your heart, this is not a good idea. And then, do you know, the other day I went to one city and I saw a brother. And he was wearing big chains and jewelry and so on. And I know this guy quite well, man, subhanAllah. And he came, Sheikh, how are you? He gave me a big hug and hugged him. And in his ear, I told him, my brother, you can do away with all those chains, my brother. My words, I said, I love you so much, and I'm telling you, jewelry is not for males in Islam. Do you know what he did? He said, don't worry. He took all of it out, put it in his pocket, came back to me, gave me another hug. Wallahi. This was a few days ago. It's not the first time this has happened to me. Wallahi, it happened to me some time back. The first time it happened to me years ago when I was speaking about jewelry in a lecture, and I said, you know what? It's for women, not for men in Islam. All these chains and that, as a Muslim, you're not supposed to be wearing them. You know what? Wallahi, I saw one brother in front of me and he had all these things on and he took them all out, put them in a pile in front of him. And today me and him are good friends. And it's years, decades later, good friends. And what was it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him and his children and so much more. And I'd like to think it's because when he heard about it, he said, you know what, if that's the case, what am I gaining from all this? Take it out, leave it. I don't want to argue. It's easy to say, no, but that guy wears and this guy does that. I'm telling you, I'm just letting you know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. So why was I able to do that to him? Because I was closer to him. Gave him a big hug, whispered in his ear to say, you know what? Can get rid of these, man. Do away with this. He did away with it straight away. And that I was so happy. I sat that evening and I was making dua for this young man. Oh Allah, bless him, strengthen him, grant him goodness, grant him the best of spouses who will be a mother to his children, each one of them to serve the deen of yours, oh Allah, in one way or another. Ameen. Why was I so excited? Because subhanallah, this immediately he listened to it. Without even debating. So I want to say, sometimes you see religious people come up to you and they say a thing or two because they really care. Some people don't have methodology. They don't know how to tell you. They tell you in a rough way. I have a habit. If someone says something as rough as it may be, if it is right, I don't mind about the way they told it to me. What's right is right. It's his weakness, the way he said it, but my weakness was what I was doing. If this guy is right, even if he yelled it at me or swore me, I would probably take it. But not all of us can do that. Sometimes we have the pride in us that tells us, I don't care. There's a statement that everyone says, stop judging me, don't judge me. Who are you to judge me? Worry about yourself. Look at yourself. Hey, my brother, relax. We're looking at us. I'll come with a big mirror and I'll say, brother, come here. Let's look into this mirror. See me? I can see myself, right? Talking to myself and you're on the side. Can you see yourself there? Okay, brother. Brother, there are 5 salah a day. Okay, do you agree? Talk to you. Brother, that's not judging you. I'm letting you know there are 5 salah a day. Please pray 5 times a day. Is that a judgmental statement? It isn't. So don't get angry. If I tell you, my brother, do you know what? The problem we're facing today is we talk about dress, and I always say, may Allah help us all to dress appropriately, and it includes males as well. People think we're only talking about women when we talk about dress, and you see some of these young boys with some tight stuff on their, you know, bicycle shorts coming up here, and subhanallah, and they think, mashallah, you know, I'm a practicing brother, this, and you say, brother, you're supposed to also wear that material which is not revealing of your private parts. Show me the dalil, brother. At the moment, you're damn showing me another dalil, my brother. It's true. What dalil are you showing me, man? Come on. And you think, you know, you got to relax, you got to take it easy. Stop these statements, man. Take it from me. Just say, Jazakallah khair, shukran. And learn to be appropriate. Be, you know, be a person with high values and morals. Come on. We pick on the women, and it's correct for both of us, but I say we pick on the women and say, you guys got to do this and that. Sometimes we as men, we tend to think that we can get away with it just because we're men. No, we have a few problems. The other day I saw someone, and I said, my brother, can I ask you a question? Since when do we wear our trousers below our bum cheeks? Sorry to say that. Since when? Wallahi, people are wearing it halfway down their legs. Have you seen it? It's gone worse. Before, in Salah, sometimes you have these new generation youngsters, they're coming for Salah. You are caught because you don't know whether you need to encourage this guy to come to the masjid or you need to talk about something that's happening there. Because, you know, astaghfirullah, we used to see the moon out there. Now there's a crack right in front of you, astaghfirullah. Wallahi. You don't even know what to say. Should I tell this guy, my brother, you know, you're coming to the house of Allah, please? Because I fear that he might not come again. But I need to say something. So what do? You got to take out this bisht of yours and say, my brother, you know what? You can have this as a gift on condition that you just wear it in the masjid each time you come here. What else? He might, you're picking on something, bro. and he's pulling up his pants. You may pull up your pants, but brother, you need to go into a posture known as sujood. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبُدُ لِرَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The closest that a slave can ever get to Allah is in the position of sujood, and your crack is showing. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. It is something worth crying about, my brothers and sisters. Are we not ashamed of ourselves? In front of Allah. You weren't expecting me to raise my voice, were you? But my brothers and sisters, it's a reality. It pains the heart. We have children. We have people whom we love. And sometimes we see things and we find it so difficult to just tell you something that is a fact. Are you ready to take it from us? We care for you. We want, you've come for salah. You are worshipping Allah. Inshallah, you get Jannah. Why spoil it because of 2 inches? Why? Why? And as it is, it's so ugly that people wouldn't even want to look in that direction. Just by seeing it, they would have to block their noses and eyes. That doesn't mean if it was any prettier, it would be okay. But it's a reality. So my brothers and sisters, you want to turn to Allah. Understand, yes, Allah's granted me the acceptance to go to the masjid. Shaitan's still going to come to me and make me arrogant and make me think, you know, this and that. Subhanallah, dress appropriately, dress properly. You know the trends that we have. Some of them may be good, they may be decent. But the bulk of these trends, we tend to follow them blindly without thinking, what exactly is it? If it's not a good thing, it would be a massive act of worship to stay away from it. That's what it would be. It would be a massive act of worship to stay away from a trend that is going to drift you away from Allah. I promise you, if you flick through your social media and you find a lot of Quranic verses, pause. Pause. Listen to that verse, no matter what it is. Check its meaning. Perhaps that is a message of Allah from Allah straight to your ears that was never meant to miss you, that He is going to ask you about in the hereafter. Did we not send you a warner? And we will tell you which warner. One day you were flicking through your social media and we ensured that a verse came to you reminding you exactly of what you were going through and what you needed, and you just flicked through it. Subhanallah. Is that what you want? Today we're living in an age of technology, so that is very, very possible. Very possible. So when there's something good, stop, pause, feel guilty. It's okay. About what? About what I might be doing. There's a clip doing its rounds of a young man. I don't know if you saw it. Someone sent it to me. Was it yesterday or the day before? One of the brothers sent it to me. A clip of a guy flicking through TikTok and he's seeing someone's dancing and so, and he clicks like. And as he flicks the next one, he sees Mufti Menk saying, brothers, you are going to be responsible for the... And he immediately goes back and unlikes the thing and goes back to... Did you see that? It's there. Have you seen it, guys? Yes, they're saying yes. Someone sent it to me. I told him, brother, you know, you're sending it to me, but the first part of it, even I didn't need to see. Agreed? So the point is, look at how Allah sent him something at the spur. Wallahi, I'd love to meet that brother. On the spur. And what did he do? Immediately he felt the guilt. That's good. Was that guilt a good thing or a bad thing? Tell me. Wallahi, it was a good thing. So when someone really tells you something and you have this guilty feeling, you know what? That guilty feeling is one of the first stepping stones towards turning to Allah. You're going to say, oh Allah, forgive me, man. What I did was not worth it. You know, when we sin and we transgress, one thing that comes away, one thing that is taken away from us is contentment. We're no longer happy. We're sinning and we're transgressing it. You might enjoy it initially, then you realize, I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. What's lacking in your life? Your maker. You've taken him out of the equation. You can't do that. Bring him back in. Become strong on your salah. No matter what you might be doing, strengthen your salah. And then see, slowly but surely, when you leave something for Allah, you get a beautiful joy. I know married men and women, sometimes they are lacking in their own responsibilities because they have turned away from Allah. When they come back to Allah, they start enjoying fulfilling their responsibilities. They spend more time with their children. They start doing things that are meaningful and add value in their own lives. That is the discipline Islam is supposed to bring you if you're a true believer. I'm a true believer. I get married and I concentrate on my family. That's what Islam teaches us. What happens when you don't have any rules and regulations? You get married and you're concentrating on every other woman on the street. And what happens to your wife? She's waiting for you at night. You have to lie to her a million times as to where you were and what you were doing. And you come back, she's upset and you're upset, but you got married. You use the name of Allah to get together, and there's everything but Allah in your relationship. That's why things are going wrong. But if you had to just cut what you were doing and come back and smile and spend a bit of time, the sweetness of that union and the beauty of that marriage and the love and contentment of the home and the flourishing of that beautiful, you know, the ambience within that house will be such that it's unmatched. And those moments, you don't need to share them with the world. You cherish them. You enjoy them. You prepare for if Allah's going to bless you with children, and may He bless all of us with offspring who will be the coolness of our eyes. If Allah's going to give that to you, you will enjoy bringing your children up before you leave the earth. Your time is temporary. How long did you spend with your children? What did you tell them? How much did you talk to them? Did you remind them about Allah? Did you tell them about the good things? Or were you only busy showing them that which was wrong from the very beginning? It's happening in many of our homes, where parents, they do the wrong thing. And then they involve their children doing the wrong things. And sometimes the beauty of it is your child wants to become practicing and you don't want them to be practicing. Why? Why? If you were not practicing, it's one of those things. You still need to deal with it. But to prevent your children or others from practicing is even worse, because you're going to be questioned double fold. One is, you didn't do it, but why did you stop others from doing it? I've had cases where young boys and girls want to become more practicing and they tell you, my mother will never allow me to put on the scarf. She's told me that I don't want, or my father will not allow me to do this. I'm not allowed to go to the masjid and to do this and to do that. Subhanallah, Rabbil Alameen. My beloved fathers, join them to the masjid. It's an honor. Ibrahim alayhi salam told his father, Ya abati inni qad ja'ani min al-ilmi ma lam ya'tika fattabi'ni ahdika siratan sawiyya. Oh my father, knowledge has come to me that has not come to you. Follow me and I'll guide you to the right path. The father didn't follow, so he suffered a loss. In our cases, if we were to tell our fathers, or our fathers were to notice goodness from us, or our mothers, if they helped us or joined us, it will be better for both. How many of us have been guided because of our children's guidance? So don't let it be the other way around, where the children want to be guided and here we are telling them, I don't want you to go towards Allah. It's a crisis. So my brothers and sisters, we've repented. We've changed a little bit in our company and our circles. We've tried to correct it as best as possible. We've become more disciplined when it comes to social media, and we have learned to interact with the right things. We're putting up content that is beneficial for us and for the ummah. We've actually broadened the scope and become more disciplined with ourselves so that we can enjoy the best of this world and the next. The most content people are the closest to Allah, even if they have nothing material. And the people who are furthest away from Allah are the ones with the least contentment, even if they have the whole world in front of them. This was a beautiful, beautiful occasion, mashallah, where we got to hear some beautiful messages. You know what? Take it in your stride. Listen. You can go back and you can listen to these lectures again. You need to spend some time a day with the Quran, some time a day listening to someone who will keep reminding you about what you're supposed to be doing, because that helps. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Remind and continue reminding, for indeed the reminding benefits those who believe. You believe, you'll enjoy the reminder. Why do you think every single day, five times a day, we have to hear the reminder, come to prayer? I know I have to come to prayer. That reminder helps us. It's literally a reminder. So we hear it and we want to go. Don't get upset. So you read Quran, you learn something and listen to someone. Today, we're empowered. We feel like changing for the sake of Allah. In fact, in our hearts, we should feel that we have changed already. If you don't do something about it before you walk out, do you know, chances are you will probably not do anything about it if you haven't already done something about it within the first 48 hours. Because then you're just going to say, we went to the light upon light. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience. And someone says, well, what did they say? Say, it was just so lovely. What exactly were they saying? Oh, it was awesome. It was nice. And then you'll tell yourself, well, you know, the sweets from heaven was a nice place, and the donuts were so beautiful, and that was so nice, and I bought myself some perfume, and I did this. That's all you remember. You know why? Because you did not do something about it in the first 48 hours. But if you do something about it now and tell yourself, I'm a changed person from now. My salah, I'm going to take it seriously. And if you've missed one thereafter, come back quickly, do the qadha and say, no, I might have missed one. I made it up. I'm still going to go and do all five again and again. Even if it takes you a month or more to get to where you're supposed to get to, but at least you started here and now. So I want to ask you all a serious question. You ready to answer me? Are we all going to change here and now? Put up your hands if it's yes. MashaAllah, that's all of us, inshallah. Put your hands down, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May Allah grant you your wishes. In fact, I got to add to that your halal wishes, because there's some youngsters looking at me and I wonder what those wishes might be. May Allah grant you all your halal wishes. May Allah Almighty bless you with the best of this world and the next. May Allah Almighty ease your suffering and struggles. May Allah bless those who don't have jobs, who are looking for jobs, with jobs better than they imagined. May Allah bless those who are struggling with the repayment of loans and debts. May Allah help you and create ease for you and grant you miraculous repayment of those loans. May Allah Almighty grant all of us good sustenance, that which comes with barakah. Those who are looking for marriage, may Allah grant you good spouses. Wow, that was loud. Brother, we can get you married here and now. May Allah bless you. Similarly, what I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, just because I heard this ameen, and it's a good one, really, sincerely from the bottom of my heart, I pray for you and for all the sisters and brothers out there. You see, when you want to get married, develop your own qualities. Because many times we're looking for someone who's not looking for us. Did you hear that? We are looking for someone, the person is there, but they're not looking for us. What that means is, I want a person who's like this. They read five salah, they are very good looking, they have this, they have knowledge, they are practicing, they are serving, they are selfless, they are there. But they're not looking for a person like you who's still smoking and you're still shisha lounging and you're still thising and thating and you little bit and you have this bad habit and that bad habit and you just a little bit of porn every now and again and a little bit of this every now. That's what's happening. You tell a guy, he says, no, I'm looking to get married. And he recites to you a nice list that he's memorized from somewhere. And you say, what about you, my brother? How are your characters? Because when we see someone, we'd like to let them know, look, there's a potential and this is what he has. He says, well, no, I'm clean. Once in a while, I binge porn a little bit. Okay, so, wow. And then they'll come in, but isn't it permissible if we, what? What did you just say? Where did you get that from? Okay, thank you. No one's looking for you, by the way. Subhanallah, Rabbil Alameen. May Allah Almighty strengthen us. You know what? These bad habits, we can do away with them. They won't help you. They will not help, neither in this world nor the next. When you discipline yourself, concentrate on what Allah's blessed you with, wallahi, you will be a much happier person than one who doesn't know where to concentrate because they want to be everywhere, every time, doing everything, and that's where we lose. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. I've spoken for 40 minutes, and I pray that really and truly we are from among those whom Allah has forgiven completely in this beautiful gathering. Ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabina Muhammad.